up, good people? How are you all doing? Pretty quiet. All right, let's see how it is. All right, well, good morning. Thank you all so much for being here today, being a part of what God is doing here at LifePoint Church and doing life with us and hanging out with us. And we really, really appreciate you being here. And are thankful as we're working through this current series and moving towards Easter. But currently in our current series that we have going on right now, we're in week 3, and the series is called Lost Virtues. And what we're doing in this series is we're basically looking at Scripture, and we're exploring 4 different virtues that we see throughout Scripture that each and every person that claims the name of Christ, that's a Christ follower, is called to live out. Yet, when we look at it in our world today, in our homes and in our churches and in our jobs and in our families, friendships, just in our lives in general today, I think it's safe to say that they're somewhat lost. I mean, week 1, we kicked things off by talking about the lost virtue of honor. Last week, we talked about the lost virtue of loyalty. And if you missed either one of those, you can always go back, check them out on our podcast online. We encourage you to do that. But today, we're going to be talking about, again, another incredibly important virtue that I would honestly say is lost today, and it's the virtue of integrity. The virtue of integrity. Now, for example, how many of you have ever gone to like a fast food joint or like Thornton's, a convenience store or whatever? That's free advertisement for Thornton's right there. You're welcome, Thornton's. But you go to a convenience store, gas station, or something like that, you buy something with cash, you walk out, you take the money, put it in your pocket, you get back out to your car, and you realize that they gave you too much, right? How many of y'all, has anybody ever experienced that? Right. Now, how many of y'all actually went back and gave it back to them? Okay, okay, sure you did. No, seriously, but like this happened to me a few times, or little things like that, or they give me too much of something, or they put a little, you know, extra in the bag that they didn't mean to do or whatever. And whenever I go back in and say, hey, y'all, you know, you gave me too much back, or, you know, hey, this was in my bag, it's not supposed to be, their immediate reaction is they're shocked, right? They're surprised. They can't believe that someone actually had integrity. Someone was actually honest. And really, that's kind of sad. It's crazy that people are more surprised by someone doing the right thing, by just someone displaying integrity, than they are when someone does the wrong thing and doesn't show integrity, a lack of integrity. And I think, again, that's an example to the fact that this is a lost virtue. I mean, we see a lack of integrity all the time. You know, anytime you turn on TV or you're just aware of the world around you, you see it. I mean, I think about famous athletes, right? You got this athlete that is incredibly gifted at their given sport, and they're just a true competitor. And people may even look at them and say, you know what, they're a good person too. You mean they do all this stuff and they do these great things, but then you later find out they're taking some type of, you know, performance enhancing drug that's banned, a banned substance, right? We hear that all the time. Or that they are out, you know, cheating on their spouse, or they're abusing their girlfriend or whatever. We see all of these things. You know, we see it all the time. We're politicians, right? You want to try to say, you know, that they're upright and they're sound and that they're, you know, they're ethical and they're this and that. And then later you find out they did all kinds of shady financial dealings, right? You know, we see it. We see it. Or how about this one? You know, pastors, right? Church leaders. They get up there and they say one thing and they preach and they do all these things, but then you come to find out that they're living some type of just some double life. Right? Or they have some type of, you know, they call moral failure, right? We see a lack of integrity all throughout our culture. It's woven in and out. We see it. It's real. It's currently where we're at. These are examples of the fact that integrity is a lost virtue. So as we kind of kick things off this morning and get started here, I want to take a quick moment and kind of give you a definition of the word integrity, right? So that we all kind of have this common ground of as we work through this. And it's very clear, it's very simple, but the definition of integrity that we have this morning is this, that integrity is when your behavior matches your beliefs, right? When your behavior matches your beliefs, when you practice what you preach, right? When you walk the talk. It's when everything in your life that you say is clicking and it makes sense and it's meshed and in sync with what you do. What you say and what you do are enmeshed. They're one. It's integrity. It's when your private life matches your public life. It's what you do when no one's looking, right? It's integrity. That's what we're talking about, when your behaviors match your belief. Now, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says this. It says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. And wouldn't you agree that our culture today and our society needs more integrity? We need integrity. We need men and women and people that will lead with integrity. But see, far too many people are being destroyed by the duplicity, right? Or the fraudulent representation of leadership or organizations or whatever it may be in our world today, and it's devastating. And we need more upright leaders to guide us. Upright people that will lead with integrity, that will just live with integrity. We need that desperately. I mean, as a parent, of course I want to see my kids thrive, right? I want to see my kids do incredible things. And of course, I have my own desires for them. I'd like to see them do this or that or be successful at this or whatever. But at the end of the day, all I really want is for them to be people of integrity, to be individuals of integrity. I mean, personally, When it's all said and done, right? When my life comes to a conclusion and I take my final dirt nap, man, I long and hope and pray more than anything that people can look back and say, you know what? Andy was definitely a man of integrity. He was a pastor of integrity. He was a father of integrity, a husband of integrity, a friend of integrity, a Christ follower of integrity. He was just a man of integrity. I mean, again, of course, I want to do big things. I have dreams and aspirations, and I want to be successful. But above all things, I just want to be a man of integrity, to be that. I want people to be able to say that about me, even if they're like, you know what, he was kind of arrogant, and he wasn't my favorite person, but the dude had integrity. I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? I want to be known as that because it's important. It's critical, and we're called in Scripture to be people of integrity. But unfortunately, in our world today, it's a lost virtue. So what else does Scripture have to say about integrity? I think that one of the most clear pictures of integrity can be found in Psalm chapter 15. It's a very short chapter. It's only 5 verses. I probably should just say, hey, we're going to read the whole chapter and freaked everybody else first. But we are. We're going to read the whole chapter, but it's 5 verses. But starting in verse 1, we see that David asked God just a very simple question. He says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Basically, he's asking, like, God, who can come close to you? Who can be in relationship with you? Who can draw close to you? Who can be spending time with you? Who can spend time? And this is what God responds. When David says, who may dwell in your sanctuary? God answers, he said, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. He who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur to his fellow man. Who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Basically, he's saying the person with integrity can dwell in my sanctuary. A person with integrity can be with me, can spend time with me. And not only that, the whole chapter concludes with, it says, he who does these things will never be shaken. Will never be shaken. So not only does a person who lives with integrity, can they spend time with God and be in his presence and be in relationship with him, but they will also never be shaken. They won't be rattled. They'll have a confidence, an assurance, because they've been with God. because they're living with integrity. And in addition to this here of being not being shaken and being able to spend time with God, there's a plethora of other benefits to you personally when you live a life of integrity. So I quickly want to spend just a few moments and share four of what I think are some of the most powerful and transformational benefits of living with integrity. And the first one, when we live with integrity, is just what we just read in scriptures, you can walk closely with God. I mean, I think that's the ultimate benefit, right? To be able to walk closely with God. Psalms 15 says, when David asks who can dwell in the sanctuary of God, he says, he who has integrity. I mean, basically, when you wrap that whole chapter up, it's the person that has integrity. You can experience that relationship with him. You can have that closeness with God, that intimacy with God, when you live a life of integrity. I mean, think about it this way. If I lay out to my kids, you know, here are the Driscoll family values, right? This is how we live our life, right? This is the way we're going to live. And if I lay that out and spell it out to my kids and they start to live that way, that's going to improve our relationship, right? It's going to increase our intimacy. It's going to allow our relationship to strengthen because we're on the same page, right? Because I said, hey, this is how we're going to live, and they actually live that way. But on the flip side of that, if I say, here's our family values, and this is how we're going to live and how we're going to carry ourselves, and they say, hey, you know what, Pops, that's great for you. That's great, but I think I'm going to go over here and do my own thing. I'm just going to do my thing, and I think it's going to be good. And then they live the complete opposite. Right? Of course, I'm still going to love them. They're my kid, right? They're my kid, so I love them. But it's going to put a wedge in our relationship. It's gonna make a little tension, like some friction there. Our relationship and lines of communication aren't gonna be as clear as they were if we were all on the same page. I mean, it's the same thing with God. He spells out and lays out his truth and how we're to live and how we're to carry ourselves and the things we're supposed to say and the things we're supposed to do. And when we live that way and we live with integrity, we have that clear line of communication and relationship with God. But if we choose not to and we go off and do our own thing, of course he still loves us. He's always going to be there with us, waiting for us to come back to him. But when we do that, it puts this block, this roadblock up between our relationship. And it hinders our ability to walk with one another. But when you have integrity, you can walk closely with God. The second benefit of living a life of integrity is that you have a built-in guide. Right, you have this kind of internal guide. We read in scripture earlier that the integrity of the upright guides him. See, you don't have to wonder what's right and wrong. You don't have to wonder what to do here or what to do there. You're going to know that. The integrity is going to guide you, and you're clearly going to know what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it. You don't have to question. You don't got to worry about it. You'll know what's right. And you'll know what's wrong because integrity will guide you there. The third benefit of living with integrity is that you have consistent peace in your heart. Consistent peace. And I don't know about you all, but that sounds awesome. Right? I mean, that sounds incredible to live with consistent peace. Peace in your heart all the time. See, when you live a life of integrity, you don't have to walk around wondering, well, what if I get caught? Right? What if my boss finds out? What if my wife finds out or my husband finds out? Right? What if my parents find out? What if I lose my job? What if I get pulled over tonight? You don't have to worry about all those things. You have peace in your heart because you're living a life of integrity. You don't have to worry. You have no fear when it comes into that area. You can live with integrity and you have consistent peace in your heart. Now, personally, I've lived on both sides, right? I've lived and had that peace, that consistent peace because I was living with integrity, but I've also had times where I was not living with integrity, and I had that fear and that worry. And I'm going to tell you, I'll take the peace all day, every day, because it is not a good feeling to sit there and be worried about what's going to happen or who's going to find out what or if you're going to get exposed, right, or found out. It's a terrible feeling. Laying down in bed at night, knowing that you've screwed up and you got all this stuff hanging out there that you might get caught, that's not good. Does not feel good. Not resting easy. But consistent peace in your heart. You can have that when you live with integrity. The fourth benefit of living a life of integrity is that you gain trust, respect, honor, and influence. The people around you are going to learn to trust you, respect you. You'll have influence. I mean, they're going to honor you when you live a life of integrity. So if you want your kids to respect you, well, then be a parent of integrity, right? Be a parent of integrity. If you want your spouse to honor you and trust you, well, then have a marriage that's based on integrity. Be a husband or a wife of integrity. If you want influence within your company or with your coworkers, with your boss, or with your employees, well, be a leader of integrity. Be an employee with integrity. And when you do that, man, people are going to listen to you. They're going to respect you. They're going to trust you when you live with integrity. I mean, in high school, my junior and senior year, all of my friends' parents viewed me as the one, maybe the one and only with integrity, which was a good thing and very much a bad thing because they trusted me completely and I could go take them wherever. Like, I mean, they would be like, oh, you're going with Andy? Cool. See ya. You don't even have to call. And that got us in some trouble sometimes. But people trusted me. I don't know why, but they did. Because they viewed me as one of their kids' friends that had integrity. So they trusted. You gain trust, respect, honor, and influence when you live a life of integrity. Man, and while there's so many benefits to living a life of integrity, unfortunately, again, as we've talked about, and as I think everyone agrees, because I've seen a lot of heads nod, we live in a culture that is without integrity. It's a lost virtue. They choose to live without it. And I would say far too many Christians, live without integrity. Right? If you've been around the church any length of time or known anybody in church, you'll know that one of the biggest complaints or criticisms that a non-believer and sometimes believers have towards Christians is what? Anybody? That they're what? What are Christians? Yes, thank you. They're hypocrites. We've all heard that. Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. And it's because we live without integrity. Being a hypocrite is the exact opposite of a person with integrity, basically. It's what it is. The Greek word that translates as hypocrite literally means an actor. Right? So when someone's being a hypocrite, they're being an actor. Right? They're putting up a front. This is what I'm saying. This is what I look like on the outside, but that's not really who I am. You're acting. You're not living with integrity. You've got a mask on. It's not who you really are. You're just putting up that front. And man, Christians are the best. They're good at it. I know I've grown up in the church. I've seen it. I've done it. I've worn that mask. I've been that hypocrite. And I think about even now at times, I'm not always living with integrity. I think about times when, you know, I've been driving to church. I live about 25 minutes away, so I have to take a pretty good long drive down the Washington Expressway. And, man, it seems like all my examples are about road rage. I guess I know what I need to work on. But somebody cuts me off or something, then I'm ready to come unglued on them. And I'm, you know, honk my horn at them or flashing my brights, just acting a fool or get in front of them and slow down. Whatever. I don't do those things. But if I did, and then they're behind me. I'm still kind of just stewing, got, see them in my rearview mirror. Then I get off on Newburgh Road, and they get off on Newburgh Road, too. And I'm like, uh-oh. One of two things about to go down. Either I'm about to get this light and they're going to try to get me, or they're going to pull into Life Point Church right behind me and be a new guest. And then they're going to be really shocked when the pastor's the one that was, you know, mouthing and flinching at him as they drove by or whatever. And I've had that fear before. I have to be honest, that's terrible. But I've thought that because I wasn't living with integrity. But we have to get rid of this hypocritical state. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But we have to strive to live lives of integrity, to not be those hypocrites. See, when you look in the scripture and you look at the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus, we see that, man, he had a lot to say about the hypocrites. He had a lot to say about the hypocrites. In fact, he was harder on the hypocrites than he was adulterers, right? Prostitutes, the thieves, the tax collectors. He was more harsh on the hypocrites. In fact, one of my favorite examples of this, and I've probably used this in one too many Facebook battles, but when I was on Facebook, one of the reasons why I had to get off Facebook, but it's in Matthew chapter 23, starts in verse 25, and we see what Jesus has to say about hypocrites. It says this. Basically, he was talking to a bunch of religious leaders, the religious elite, and Pharisees, right? That's who he was speaking to. And he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites," saying you actors, you're wearing your masks. He says, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. He says, "Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." And then in verse 27, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." He says, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." He says, "In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Man, those are strong, strong words. And I think it is so relevant today, because there are a lot of people that claim the name of Christ that you could say this very thing to pretty harshly. You could say the same thing to me at certain times in my life and in my ministry every time that I've been a Christ follower. I have to be honest. Because we struggle with that. Jesus was basically saying, "Man, you actors, right? You actors, man. You put up a good front. You put on a good show, but man, on the inside, man, you're filthy. Far from God. But you got your mask on. You look righteous. Going through the motions. Talking the talk. Saying the prayers. Doing all this and that. But inside, man, you're filthy." He says, "Blind Pharisee." I mean, think about it. Blind Pharisee. He's basically acknowledging the fact that they don't even realize it. They're absolutely blind and oblivious to the fact that they are that way, that they're living a hypocritical life. Because they've gotten so caught into the motions. Sometimes when you start doing something so much, you start to believe it. But on the inside, they're destroyed. They're devastated. They're dirty. They're not clean. Jesus says, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside will also be clean. And he says this because integrity doesn't start on the outside. It starts from the inside out, right? You got to start with what's on the inside. You have to be pure and clean and holy on the inside first, and then the outside will take care of itself. Blind Pharisee, clean the inside of the cup and dish. But you see, it's far easier to clean the outside, right? I mean, I don't know about what your experience is with washing cups, but yeah, I can clean the outside of the cup with ease. Get down the bottom corners, not so easy. But we've got to be willing to put in the work. If we want to live lives of integrity, we have to start on the inside. So with that being said, let me ask you a question, and I want you to really be honest with yourself, and I want you to answer this question, not what you think you're supposed to answer, and not what you hoped you could answer or want to answer, but I want you to answer this question based off of what your life reflects, with how you're living. When you look at your life, how would you answer this question? And it's this: what's your integrity worth? What is your integrity worth? And answer it again, based off of what your life shows, with how you live, not with what your words are, but what your life says, what your integrity worth. For example, let's say that you lied on a resume, right, to get a better job. Hopefully none of y'all have done that, but say you did. You lied on your resume so that you could get this better job because it paid more and it had better benefits. Well, then what you're basically saying is that's what your integrity is worth. It's worth whatever those perceived benefits are because you sold out your integrity for that. So what's your integrity worth? Maybe as a result of your actions, you realize that you'd have to answer that it's worth far less than what you thought it was. Because when you look at what your life, how you live, you've sold out your integrity for some pretty minor, small things. Right? Maybe it's at work, you stole something very small. I mean, it could even be time. But you stole something small, some toilet paper or a ream of paper, box of pens, whatever it may be. And you're like, hey, nobody's going to miss it. Well, that's what you're saying your integrity's worth. That's what it's worth. So whatever those pens cost or that, the ream of paper, whatever that's worth, that's what it's worth to you, right? Or maybe you're married and finances are kind of tight, but you still want to kind of buy some things. You still want to have some fun money. You still want to do your thing. So you hide a little money off to the side, right? You don't tell your spouse about it. You hide it off to the side, wait a little while, and then you slowly spend it. Well, that's what your integrity's worth. Whatever that fun money is, whatever that item is that you're wanting to purchase, that's what your integrity's worth because you've sold it for that. Because we've lost the virtue of integrity. Or maybe it's as simple as with your friends, right? You're telling them a story, it happened this way, but you exaggerated a little bit, right? Because you want them to like you a little more. Or you want to make the story sound better. Or seem more adventurous. You know, you hear the jokes all the time about, a fish story. You know, I caught a 3-pound or a 5-pound bass. Really, it was just a 2-pound bass. You know, maybe it was actually even a crappie and you just said it was going to be this. Right, those fish stories. But you exaggerate the truth or you make it sound better. Well, that's what your integrity's worth. That's what your friendship's worth. Maybe you're a student, right? You need to keep that GPA up. Trying to get into a different program, or you're trying to get this or that, so you're like, I'm going to cheat on this test every once in a while, this paper, just so that I can ensure that I get in. I think I'm going to get in, I think it's going to be good, but I'm going to do that just a little bit. And you're selling out your integrity. What is your integrity worth to you? What does your life say that your integrity's worth? How you live. Not what you say, but how you actually live. See, there's a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Job. And my man Job, if you asked him what his integrity is worth, without hesitation, he would say, my integrity is worth more than my life itself. He said, that's what my integrity is worth. This dude had some serious integrity. And if you don't know the story well, basically what we see here is that Satan was basically criticizing God and God's people by saying, man, they don't really love you. They don't really care about you. They're just faithful to you because of the good things that you do for them. They don't really love you. And God's like, no, man, there are some that really love me. There are. And he's like, Satan's like, show me just one. Show me one. And God's like, well, this guy Job, man, I'm telling you, he is a man that's full of integrity. And I promise you, regardless, he's faithful to me. He has integrity. And he loves me. And Satan's like, okay, well, then give me a crack at him. Let me have a shot at him. And let's see how much he really loves you. And it's kind of uncomfortable and somewhat bizarre, but God says, all right, have your shot. And so Satan basically goes and strips Job of everything. Everything that he loved, everything he had worked for. He just took everything for him. And then Job's wife and his friends both start to turn on him, right? His wife is like, man, why are you trying to hang on to your integrity? Why are you trying to hang on to this? Look at all that's happened. Why don't you just curse God and die? That's a great spouse, huh? Just curse God and die. And his friends were like, Job, man, I know you claim to be this guy of integrity, but all these bad things are happening. Obviously, you're living a certain way that's not right. Like you have sin in your life or you're doing something bad and this is reflecting it. So why don't you just quit acting like you that you're a man of integrity because you're obviously not because of how you're being punished or all how these bad things are happening. Obviously, you've done something wrong. So quit claiming integrity. And in Job chapter 27, verse 5 and 6, this is basically what Job has to say back to them. He says, I will never admit you are in the right. Till I die, I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. He said, man, I will not deny my integrity. I'm not going to curse God. And friend, you're wrong. And you're full of it. So go somewhere else. I'm never going to believe what you're saying. Because I trust God. And I have integrity. And I'm going to stay that way. Because this is what my life is worth. This is what my integrity is worth. It's worth my life itself. He was a man of integrity. So what's your integrity worth? What's it worth? Be honest with yourself. Again, not what you think or what you want it to be, but what your actions say. And if you're sitting here this morning or you're listening on the podcast and you start to realize that based on how you live your life, you're not living with integrity. You do not have integrity, and you have that realization. Or that there's some things in the area of integrity that you can improve. Like I say all the time up here, just own it. Own where you're at. Don't put on a mask and act like it's not the case. It is what it is. Own it and then start to move forward. You're never going to move forward. You're never going to be able to seek God and allow him to help you overcome something if you continue to act like it's not the case. So if you're currently not living a life of integrity, then own it. And then start to take those steps forward. Don't ignore your own hypocrisy. Don't be a blind Pharisee. Be aware of how you're living. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to God speaking to you. And then take action. Because you'll never become a person of integrity if you don't do that. So that's what we have to do. And we have to start somewhere, right? So if that's you and you realize that you're not a person of integrity and you need to start taking those steps forward to reclaim that lost virtue in your life, I want to give you a few quick steps as we close on how to become a person of integrity, how to recapture that and reclaim that in your life. And the first and most important of that is to get to know Jesus. Get to know God. Dig into his word. Get into prayer time. Spend time with God. Get to know him. Not know about him, but truly, truly know him. You see, because it's in our nature to go the opposite. It's in our nature to sin and to do things that we shouldn't. It's in our nature to live a life that is not full of integrity. That's just by our nature. So we have to tap into God's resources and his power and his Holy Spirit to be able to overcome that, to be able to live a life of integrity. So first, we have to build that foundation. And we have to know who God is. And we have to spend time with him. We have to be in relationship with him. We have to get to know Jesus. And then once we have that foundation and we begin to build on that and we're walking step by step with Christ, the next thing is I really want to encourage you to go back and apologize to some of those people that you've misrepresented yourself to. I mean, there's power in that. There's power in not only confessing things to God. Yes, we're supposed to confess our sin to God and repent of those things, but we need to do that with one another as well. That's biblical. That's what the church was built on. We have to do that as well. So maybe you need to go back to someone and say, hey, you know what? For the last several years, man, I've not been true to you. I've been an actor. That's not who I really am. This is not what I'm really about. The fish I caught was really only, you know, a 3-inch crappie. Or bluegill, that was really bait. You know, you got to go back and do that. That's going to help you to move forward. And then you start that journey of repairing that trust, right? And building that relationship and building a life of integrity. I actually experienced that here recently with a good friend of mine that I've known since college. And I see him. I haven't seen him in years, but we will text back and forth every great once in a while. And he was going through a rough spot. And so I just kind of reached out to him, and we were talking. And he's like, you know what, man, I really need to apologize to you. He said, I've been doing this with a few people. But he said, you know, I've told you, you know, that in my career, he's a musician. He was like that, you know, I've told you that I was booked on these tours and with this band and with that band. He said, man, that's all a lie. He said, I played with this guy, toured a little bit, but all those other things that I said was just trying to make myself feel good about myself and trying to impress you or impress other people. And I was like, man, don't worry about that. It's all good. I appreciate that apology. And you could almost feel like the weight being lifted off his shoulders. And I really hope that that was freeing for him. And I think it was. And I think God honors that. I don't care about that personally because I love him. But the fact that he owned that and said that, I think that strengthened our relationship. It started to rebuild some of that trust. And that's a powerful thing. So we need to go back and do that. And then finally, once we have that relationship and we start to, with God and we're walking with him, right? And then we start to confess those things to the people around us that we're misrepresenting ourselves to. The final thing, and just from that point on, we have to do what Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, when he says, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Just let your yes be yes, your no be no. Just be honest. Live a life of integrity. Just be who you are. Come into relationship with Christ and let him radically transform you. Let him help you to become a person of integrity. Allow him to allow your yes to be yes. Because again, we have to have him for that to be the case. You let your behavior align with your beliefs. And not just your beliefs, but the beliefs that God lays out for us and spells out for us in his word. If we align our actions with that, man, then we'll start to live a life of integrity. And as we do that, we'll start to walk closely with God. Right? We'll have that built-in guide. We'll have consistent peace. And then we'll gain honor, trust, respect, and influence from the people around us. We have to live a life of integrity, and it all starts with you owning where you're at and then taking those next steps forward to becoming a person of integrity. And as you do that, we have to allow God to work in and through us to be successful. So go ahead and just take off a stupid mask and come before God just as you are. Regardless of how messy and ugly that really might be. Take off the mask. As you do life with us here at LifePoint Church, please take off the mask. Be free to take off the mask. Obviously, I sit up here and talk about all my failures all the time about, you know, acting crazy in the car and flipping people off in the car on the way to Hilton Head years ago that Amelia likes to tell everybody about, so I might as well. But take off the mask. We're all on this journey together to become, you know, closer with Christ, to grow together. And none of us are perfect. But we have to start with being people of integrity. We have to own where we're at. We have to move forward. And we need God's help to do that. So we allow him to help us restore that virtue, that lost virtue in our life. And I challenge you to do that today. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for the examples that you give us, Lord, in your word of how to live a life of integrity and the importance of living that life of integrity, God. God, I pray that we as a church and individuals, God, would not be hypocrites. We would not be like those blind Pharisees and those religious leaders that look good on the outside and try to put on the front that we're something that we're really not. God, may we be a church and individuals that start on the inside and work towards a life of integrity. God, work towards a life that honors and glorifies you first and foremost. And if we can do that, if we can start on the inside, the outside is going to take care of itself, God. May we believe that and claim that today. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here and You want to be a person of integrity, and you recognize and realize that you need to take that first step, of getting to know God, of knowing him personally. But that's where you're hung up, right there, right off the bat, because you've never stepped over that line of faith, because you don't really know him. You know about him, you've heard about him, read a little bit of the Bible, or maybe you've read the whole Bible. But you don't really know him. You're not in relationship with him. You've never laid everything down before him and said, God, I give you my everything. I trust you with everything. And I need you in my life. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to forgive me of all of my sins. Cleanse me before God. And if that's you this morning, man, there's no better time than now. God is leading you and drawing you to him, and you feel that, and you feel that. Man, don't push back on that. Don't hesitate. Just call on his name. However he leads you, you call on his name. You cry out to him. It's not a magical prayer. It's your faith and your belief. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's confessing and believing. And if this morning you're ready to give your life to Christ and want to step over that line of faith and get to know him and start that journey, then just call out to him. And if you're hung up by a prayer or what the words to say, just say something to God like, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again for me. God, I'm asking you to be my Savior, to be my Lord. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I have flaws and failures, and I'm not perfect, and I desperately need you. So save me today. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. If that was your heart this morning, if that was your cry to God, man, I'm telling you right now, that was the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. Scripture says from that point forward, you are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away, and all things are new. And if that's you this morning, man, we ask that you would just mark that on your connection card that's in your bulletin, or come talk to me or one of our leaders or Mike or somebody after the service. We just want to celebrate with you. We want to know how to better help you on this new journey in your relationship with Christ. But as we continue in prayer, maybe you're a Christ follower and you've been a Christ follower for some time, or maybe you're new to the faith and you've recently accepted Christ, but regardless, you realize and understand and recognize that you are not living with integrity. That by your actions, the choices that you make, you're not a person of integrity at this point in time. Or maybe you're not a person of integrity just in this one area of your life. But whatever the case may be, today's the day that you own that and you start to take those steps forward. Take those steps forward to becoming a person of integrity. And it all starts with knowing God. Getting back to that foundation and shoring that up. Coming before God and saying, God, man, just help me. Help me to be a person of integrity in this area or that area. Then we start to make those things right. And then we start letting our yes be yes and our no be no. Take those steps forward today. As we continue in our worship and in our time, we're going to go ahead and move into taking of communion. We do this here at LifePoint Church the first Sunday of every month. And we believe here at LifePoint Church there's two different ordinances that are ordained by God that we see in his word. One of them is baptism, which we'll be doing next week. So we'll have a baptism service next week. So if you have questions about that or want to be baptized, you can come see one of us after the service today and we'll get that all set up. But the other is communion, taking of the Lord's Supper. And they're both here to represent and to reflect something incredible that God has done for us. It's a picture. And with communion, we do that in remembrance of what God did for us when he sent his son to die, shed his blood, and give his body for us. There's no saving power in this, but it is something that we're called to do to represent that and to show God thanks, to celebrate what he's done in our life. And there are only two requirements of taking in communion here at LifePoint Church with us. First is that you are connected. You have a connected relationship with God, that you're a believer, that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And then outside of that, it's just taking a moment, and I'm going to give you that here, just to reflect on your life. Just reflect on how you're living and the things that are in your life. And if there's anything that you need to confess, man, confess it. If there's anything that you need to get right, get it right. Not in a shameful way, not to try to scare you or anything like that, but just take that time before you take of communion and just search your heart. Let God reveal anything to you that you need to get right or things you need to do different. Just give that quiet time to Him. So at this time, Mike's going to play a little bit, and we'll give you a moment, and I want you just to do business with God. Just talk to God. Search your heart. And anything that He brings to mind, just confess that and get it right. Then I'll read some scripture, then we'll go ahead and take of the elements. So at this time, you just spend some time with God. It's Mike Place.